Welcome to the continuing adventures of the Order of the D. A special Tavern Tales presents Family Edition. Benson, Valeria, Thane, and Coasty have accepted a quest and are going deeper and deeper into Undermountain as our band of Dragonborn hunt the missing Lucas Kettleblack.
But marching on, like we've always known the trail, searching for our ending to the fairy tale. Sometimes even shooting stars find wishes and miss their marks. But when the night gets too dark and the road home seems too far, we'll see the sun come up again. We will climb higher than we've been. We got a fire that burns within. We are the dragon heart, and we are the dragon heart.
Welcome everyone to Order of the D, and we are here as a whole family to play our Dragonborns.
Woo! I'm Coasty, a green Dragonborn that spits
poison.
My name is Will.
What is one thing that people don't know about Coasty?
Coasty's marriage is actually alive.
Coasty's wife is actually alive?
Yeah. It's one of his swords. He has two swords.
Coasty's wife is actually one of his swords. He's married to his work.
He got her soul and he turned it into a sword. So he kept it. And then whenever he says, "Come out, my faithful wife."
"Come out, my faithful wife." Yeah. She comes out of the sword.
Yeah. And then she has the sword and I have it too.
Well, we will see if that actually happens.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next we have...
Hi, I'm Robin. I play Valeria Dragonia.
And what's one thing we don't know about Valeria?
Valeria's mom was taken away after doing a horrible crime in Dragonia.
Okay.
People don't know that.
All right.
Wow.
And we have...
Hi, I'm Kyle, and I am playing the role of Benson, the red dragonborn sorcerer of a great amount of power and acclaim. Or so he thinks.
Or so he thinks. And what's one thing that we do not know about Benson?
Benson wipes his bum with his left hand.
And I am Marie Claire, and I play Thane Dragonia, a white dragonborn cleric of Bahamut, and I am also your dungeon master here with my family, so welcome, and let's get started. We were deep underwater and underwater deep is called Under Mountain. Do you remember where we were last?
Like a cave with water trickling?
Shore of an underground lake.
Amidst a mushroom forest.
Maybe where Flash lives.
Yeah, that's where Flash lives.
Flash lives in a mushroom forest?
Yeah.
Really? Wow.
And his mom died.
On the lake?
No.
Yeah, she did die in the middle of the lake.
Yeah, she died in the lake.
In Undermountain. So we most recently fought a monster that collected much treasure and was drawn to you because of that treasure. And you see that the path is winding its way through the mushroom forest. Can you tell me one unique thing that you notice in the forest, Kyle?
Benson takes note that the path itself is strewn with hard, small lake stones, those flat ones that are nice for throwing, but it looks like they have been deliberately laid to make this path.
And Robin, what's one thing that you notice?
Red eyes stare from the forest.
Oh, and Will, what's one thing that Coastie notices?
Flash is his house.
An old, dilapidated house sits by the shoreline.
It's Flash's house.
And we don't know that it's Flash's house. It is definitely somebody's former residence, but it looks like it has been abandoned for many centuries.
But it looks like it's kind of gold.
I mean, there is a lot of gold in the lake, and yeah, you could probably think there's like a shellac of gold on this house.
And Flash has been traveling for many years, and he's abandoned his house for many years.
So Thayan looks along the path and says, I think that we need to go further.
You do not wish to inspect the house over there, the dilapidated falling cottage?
Well, we are trying to find somebody.
Well, it could be a good base of operations for the brother of Lily Lane.
Perhaps, whatever you wish, Benson.
Okay, well, I'll trot over to the cottage and have a look inside.
Sure, you have to go along the edge of the lake because closer to the cottage, the mushrooms have grown thicker together, and it's very difficult to actually wend your way through the forest.
Flaria, as I'm working my way along, I realized there's not much room for me to walk.
Benson, be quiet. We don't have time for your puns. I mean, you can't always be punctual.
I was just telling you that I am a fun guy.
The shore is very slippery as the scum of the lake coats the rocks that lap with the water.
Algae.
You're not actually sure if it's algae. Algae is definitely something that's an outside thing. Is there anything that you do? Do you follow along with Benson?
I do.
I do, but I'm way closer to the edge of the lake. I kind of like reach in and like graze my hand across the water.
Okay, the water is very cold.
Whew.
Like definitely just like a degree or two above freezing.
That is cold water. Guys, no one wants to fall in that water.
I am looking in the window of the dilapidated cottage. It does not look as though people have been here for a hundred of years or so.
And you do notice that there is a shellac of gold paint on the cottage, but it is coated with sort of a fungus moss-like substance that has basically taken it over the years and is starting to break down the wood of the cottage.
Inside the house, there's a sign that reads, The Golden Mushroom Guardian Residence.
Yay!
All right.
I scrape some of this golden colored shellac off into a little container case to inspect later.
Sure.
And then work my way back along the shoreline carefully to return to my comrades.
Oh, when you looked in the window, I just want to comment, you noticed that all of the furniture has basically disintegrated inside of there, but you do think that in a pinch, you could use the house and maybe board it up and use it as like a
base of operations.
Some place to stay if you needed to stay.
Well, that's what I tell my comrades. I say, so friends, I have inspected the inside. And while it is very ramshackle and run down and definitely not the sort of place I would normally reside for, I would not want the hem of my robes to get all dirty. But nonetheless, in a pinch, we could use this small cottage as a base of operations, should we desire to do so.
It's Flash's house. I've been there before. I've been to Flash's house before, and inside the house, there's a golden writing in it and said, The Golden Mushroom Guardian.
That is exactly what it said inside.
And in the
At first, I did not believe that this elderly dragonborn...
Coastie is not crazy. So you said a few nights ago that Coastie was just full of stories. Well, some of these things are true.
Yes, I am growing quickly to learn this is the fact.
And then he actually pulled out the sword, but is his wife's sword.
Yep.
But her soul is in. And he actually puts it back in and actually grabs, and he cuts one of the mushrooms off and grabs it.
With the end of his sword?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Your wife does not come out of the sword.
Because I didn't say the words.
No, it doesn't seem like your wife will come out of the sword. The path, meanders through the mushroom forest. And as you approach the edge of where the cave roof meets the wall, you approach a small-ish, for this cave, opening. It is about 5 feet wide by about 9 feet tall.
Interesting.
It is weird that we are going into a cave that is inside of another cave.
Very interesting. Hey, Benson, do you have any things that could possibly shed some light on this? Because
the bioluminescent roof definitely looks dark and foreboding to enter the smaller cave within a cave.
I cast light.
Can you eat the golden mushroom that I picked?
You're not sure. What's your nature check? Whether you can eat it.
He is +3 at nature.
Yes! 15!
Good job. You know you can eat the mushroom, but it's probably going to taste kind of gross.
But it kind of tastes like...
Because it kind of oozed when you cut it a little bit out of the bottom of the stem.
But some of the other mushrooms are still their normal color. And I checked all the mushrooms, and some of them are gold. The ones that are, like, still have the color of gold.
There's little tiny golden mushrooms on the ground.
But don't pick those. They have not grown enough yet.
Yeah. They're not forest-sized mushrooms yet. You approach this cave opening?
I cast light upon a rock. Actually, I cast light upon a larger mushroom across the whole cap of the mushroom on the inside, so I can use it as a directed light. I break the stem off, cast light, and say, Lumos, as I cause light to be done to the inside of this mushroom, this large portobello-style mushroom.
It's like a mirror or something like that, but that shoots light.
Directs the light.
Directs the light.
A flashlight.
Yeah.
It's like a flashlight.
It's a shroom light.
TM.
A flash room light.
A flash room light. You see inside that the walls are smooth. Like this has been polished stone. The pebbles that have formed the path thus far do enter a few feet into this smoothed out.
So we had to go around the lake to get to this little cave?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, there had been signs of people or persons traveling this way.
Right. We had seen the blood
on
the ground, and that had stopped when we got to the lake.
Yeah, but this is the only path that you could see, because you could definitely see, like, even as you were traveling along the lake, that you had to break a few mushrooms. You had to break a few eggs, break a few mushrooms to get to the cabin. You know that this was the only path that anybody could have taken. So the inside of the cave is very smooth, and it slightly reflects the light back at you as you travel down, and it curves slightly to the right as you see maybe 100 feet down.
We should move with great stealth and solitude. We do not know how much our voices will carry through this beautiful mirror-like cave. I cannot stop looking at myself in the
wall. You do notice that your voice does echo slightly.
Benson, life is not all about you. Maybe be quiet for once.
That song, whenever you see gold, you always go crazy.
Oh, riches and valuables.
So you guys travel down?
Yes, let's make a stealth check to quietly move down this.
What is 6?
That's a 9.
I only got a 9.
I have a perfect spell for... This is a spell to make Benson less ego-y. Deflate ego. Deflate ego.
Benson has an 18.
All right, and Will?
9.
Plus your stealth.
12.
Okay.
13.
And Thayan got a 12 as well. Okay, so we all travel down, and, you know, the claws of our feet scrape slightly on the stone. And as we turn the corner, this bend in this tunnel, we come across almost like a thin, viscous layer covering the entire tunnel. Can you describe something about this thing that's blocking the path?
It's kind of flaky.
Oh, it's got some flakiness to it. It's definitely see-through in a way. Like as you approach, you notice that the light can go through slightly, but it's definitely thick and almost membrane-like, but also has some flaky bits. Will, can you describe something about this barrier?
It has a big leaf at the front, and it says, "Do you need a big giant leaf to open this gate and proceed on?"
Okay. Cool. And Kyle, what else about this?
It's as though somebody had dumped a whole ton of craft glitter into it and mixed it all up. So there's this
iridescent, shiny
glitter inside, like glitter glue sort of thing.
It looks like glitter glue. Okay. I'm going to add also that it almost looks like it has a viscous layer of mucus that is dripping down from it.
And it's hanging across like the
Yeah, it's covering the whole opening.
How thick is it? Can we determine at all?
Probably about an inch thick.
Is there a crack in the ceiling?
Mm-mm.
It's just goo. Do you have... Where's the big leaf? We need the big leaf. Is the leaf on the other side?
The big leaf is inside the goo.
Yep. It's held inside of the viscous glue right in the middle, and that's where the writing is written.
Okay, I'm going to use Mage Hand to try to pull the leaf.
Okay.
I jump up and try to pull it.
Well, you don't want to put your hands in the goo.
It's okay. So
as the Mage Hand touches the membrane, it actually starts to separate up and down the membrane like...
Like curtains parting?
You can buy them off of like infomercials. They've got the magnetic... up and down where you can put them in front of doors. It's like a zipper almost. Like it seems to go up and down and it's opening and kind of spreading open till your mage hand grabs the leaf. Okay. It seems to like avoid the mage hand.
Ah, okay. So my mage hand grabs the leaf.
Yeah,
pulls
and brings it,
out. It
back. Yeah. And as the leaf leaves, it starts to slowly seal up again from top and bottom.
I have the leaf.
Open the gate then.
Yep.
I give the leaf to Coast.
The giant leaf has to be placed inside the gate.
Okay.
And then I put it in.
Yeah, and it starts to open again, and it's like it's afraid of the leaf.
Hey, guys, let's use the leaf to go through.
All right, well, quick, while Coasty holds it there, you should acrobatically dive into the hole that's being opened that the leaf is causing, right? Is that...
Okay. I mean, it as the leaf is held there, it opens all the way up, so you can actually walk through fairly easily.
I dive and do a backflip into the thing, landing. I do a cartwheel back, and then I do another cartwheel back.
As you land in this new area, you slip slightly, not anticipating that the walls and the floor and... everything in here, it's like you walked into a pool, basically. Like you open the door and it's so humid in this area.
My hair sticks up.
Yeah. Well, your scales stick up.
My scale hair.
Your scale hair sticks up. And yeah, no, it's so humid that it ends up being like you almost slip a little tiny bit. But because of your amazing roll, you land it.
And by the way, there's three gates. You guys got to... acrobatically get back.
All right. And so it's still open and Thane just walks through and is very careful because she's so heavy with her armor.
Avoiding a roll, aren't we?
Yes.
I walk through because Coasty could spit poison at the door and it has a poison detector. So if you spit poison at it, it closes.
Okay, so you just walk through. Cool.
And never open my mouth.
As Benson and the flesh mushroom light.
In the monster manual, there are a whole bunch of different pictures of the chromatic dragons. And you can see the heads of each of the different chromatic dragons are all slightly different. So some of them have dreads and some of them have frills and some of them don't. Some of them just have a whole bunch of horns. You can see the blue dragon seems to have these sorts of tails or dreadlocks, like sort of thing coming off of it. So that might be a better way to describe. If you take a look at the different colored dragons, you can see how they're all unique. And Dragonborn largely reflect their colors of their heritage.
Can I see?
I wonder what DJ looks like.
Meanwhile, Benson takes the leaf from Coastie, holds it over his head, and walks through, turning the leaf, and then he puts the leaf back into the membrane
as it seals up.
Yeah.
With the mushroom flashlight, you are able to see that the walls and the floor of this whole area are coated with moss and like thick, viscous growth. In that it is so humid, it's basically now an entire other ecosystem that you've walked into.
So I take a moment and take off my gorgeous slippers, putting on a pair of haphazard work slippers that I have as well, and then take out several safety pins, which I then pull up the hem of my robes so that it could not possibly get dragged through this moss and whatnot. And I just take a couple of moments to...
It's not really moss because it's just so wet and viscous. Like you've walked into a pool, basically, how humid it is.
Can I tell you what the second gate is?
There's another gate?
Three.
Actually, you do see up ahead, there's another membrane. But it's a long ways down. And actually, this tunnel seems to have widened a fair amount.
Oh, okay.
It's now about 15 feet across.
And the gate is, it's golden, and in the middle, it's and the writing says, you need a giant piece of gold to open this gate.
Is there a giant piece of gold anywhere?
In the ceiling.
What? Oh, is it on a track sort of thing that you could like slide it across?
Yeah.
Yeah, it actually looks like somebody has manufactured this in that you can actually pull on a rope and slide it down kind of like a zipper and then slide it back up.
No, it's actually a handle and I jump up and grab the handle and pull it down.
You can grab this golden track. And actually, Robin, how does this membrane look?
It's kind of like stringy. Thick, and you can't really see through it, so it's stringy, and like if you get your hands stuck in it, it kind of just like makes your hands move and like you can't get them out.
So Coastie, what do you do to grab the zipper-like contraption?
I jump.
Okay, can you please roll? What'd you get?
I got a 22.
Yeah, so you definitely grab the zipper and bring it right down, all the way down. It opens up the membrane and it actually seems to disappear completely, allowing the entire party to walk through if they want to. And then after a period of time, it seems to start to slowly move back up and the membrane seems to follow.
Neat. It zippers itself?
And the third gate.
Oh, no. So you step through and it is not nearly as moist in this area. Actually, you notice that it's almost more echoey in that the walls are dark and black. What you do notice is that you notice that the walls are dark and deep and black. And as you enter into the room, even the slightest movement seems to produce vibration in the walls.
Benson, upon his slippers, quietly, ever so quietly, makes his way down on the alert for any sort of things, because it seems like this place is very dark, shining his light as everywhere he possibly can.
I need you to actually make stealth checks, because it's not like you're trying to be quiet, because you see that this entire hallway until the next gate membrane is empty. But as you try to move quicker, it actually starts to vibrate your very bones. And if you fail your stealth check at a DC 15, you take 2 hit points of damage as your very bones are shaken.
Okay, I will make my attempt now. That'll be really tough for you and Coastie because you both have disadvantage on these checks.
No!
You are able to make an athletics or an acrobatics check instead of a stealth check if you would like.
Oh. Acrobatics.
To make an athletics check, bud. Because you're so good at that.
Oh, athletics.
You still did very, very poorly.
I'm going to try to make an athletics check.
I got a 2.
I did not do well enough.
I got a 2.
Benson has a 17.
Okay, so Benson, you seem to be able to quiet yourself, move slowly and patiently enough that you do not take any damage, although you do feel the vibration within your body.
20.
You're fine. And you, Will, did not do as well, and I did not do as well. So could you take 2 points of damage?
No.
Yeah, it's just write that on your character sheet, buddy. Pull out your character sheet.
And Thayan also seems to vibrate within, and you actually hear the slight jingle jangle of her chainmail armor as the vibrations come back to her.
And just write a 2 right there. Okay, you crossed it out already? Well, it's still a 2.
Okay, we have to make one more check before we get to the end membrane. How do you do?
Wait, do I have to make another check?
Yes, we have to make another check. Oh, she did not do well.
I got a 15!
Yep, so Coastie has beaten it with a natural 15. Benson got a natural 19.
Okay, and
Valeria?
Valeria, did you roll your dice?
That means I get healed.
19.
You're fine. So,
This is what doing the vibrations.
So, the only one that seems to be affected is Thayan, and she almost can't walk anymore. She is so shaken by the vibrations as she is moving forward.
I attempt to help her.
I help Thayan too. We help her walk.
Okay.
Benson moves ahead to take a look at what this last membrane is looking like.
Could you please describe something about the membrane?
Can I tell you what it says?
Sure.
It says, you need a mini golden mushroom to open this gate.
Wow. Fortunate.
And you've got a mini golden mushroom?
No, I got the brown one.
So it's very, very thick.
Yeah.
It is an inky black color. And it does that Jurassic Park water goblet vibrate, causing all the sound to be redirected back into the room.
Similar to the walls, yeah. And Robin?
It's cold.
You actually feel a chill coming off of it.
And it looks like it's alive.
What?
The membrane has a tiny hole in the middle where the ripples go to. But it's only big enough to put a pin through.
All right. What do you guys do?
Benson draws forth a little bit of fire to see if the membrane reacts to that.
It does not seem to react to the fire.
Does it react to the light?
A little tiny bit, yeah. It just seems to move like it does with the sound. It ripples as the light approaches.
Coastie, do the tiny golden mushroom thing.
Okay, I grab, this was when he was back in the war, so he puts a brown, but it used to be a golden mushroom, but it's tiny still, because he puts it in and it actually works, and we walk through.
So actually, as you approach it, it does seem to move away, but it seems to almost eat the mushroom. Like, start to nibble and disintegrate the mushroom. And then it creates a perfectly round doorway through.
Oh, my.
I can free that plan.
I walk through.
Benson says, no, wait. As you begin to walk through.
What, Benson? Can't we just walk through?
I don't know. I'm going to wait for the storyteller to tell. I'm going to wait for the dungeon master to
seems,
tell us.
It seems
okay.
To be fine, but you have to be very careful as you step through that you don't touch anything.
I see lightning bolts.
And it seems to be slowly closing.
I run through, but don't touch anything.
Thane?
Yeah, she attempts to make it through with her armor. She's okay.
Benson will be last.
Inside, you actually see that the tunnel goes a few more feet and then opens up into a large cave where you see in the distance sparkling and twinkling lights that seem to be torches lit, and you see structures that those are attached to. It doesn't seem like there's enough to really see if you're a above ground person normally, but the lights would probably help with fine detail for those that have dark vision.
Which we don't have.
Nope, none of us have dark vision because we are all dragonborn.
You see a city, but miniaturized, obviously for a different sort of race of creatures.
Cool. Benson begins to make his way carefully towards the tiny town.
As you approach, you actually see several what you would associate with the height of a gnome. But they look kind of a sickly gray color, and their teeth don't seem to be well kept for, like the above land gnomes look like. And these gnomes seem to have survived underneath the ground.
Can I make a roll or a check to see if I know anything about this sort of creature?
Sure.
What check would you like?
History?
I have rolled an 8 total.
Yeah, you just think this is a sick gnome. You don't know enough about them.
All right. Hello, sick gnome.
All right. One of them looks up and, Will, what does he look like?
He has green eyes.
Oh, nice, nice.
Greenish
okay.
eyes.
Yeah. And his name is Robin?
Beamager.
Beamager asks you, who are you?
We are dragonborns.
Dragonborns, you say? And he takes his little pick and he picks his teeth of whatever he had for lunch. But it's like the size of his head that he's trying to use to pick his teeth. It seems like he's failed a couple of times because he's missing a tooth or two.
Hello, little gnome. You seem to be unwell. We are looking for a dwarf with black bushy hair and black bushy eyebrows and black bushy beard. In fact, most of his head is black and bushy.
Beamager doesn't like you. And he turns away.
I laugh at him and I also spit poison at him.
What?
But I turn the other way and do it. I do this.
You just spit.
Yeah, I spit the other way. And always my spit goes away.
Beamager gets this. And Beamager spits as well.
Yeah, the
and then way. And then does a little butt shake and then sticks out his hand to shake your hand.
All right, use your words.
I shake his hand.
So he actually expects you to do the whole thing again. So you both spit and butt shake and then shake hands.
I spit and I butt shake and I shake my butt and I also shake his hand 500 times.
Like just up and down and up and down and up and down. And so
this, I do it again.
This gnome who is bald and this gray color with these green eyes gets shaken by this giant dragonborn. It's quite a funny sight to see. And this is causing a commotion. And you see that some other gnomes seem to be leaving their households to come and see what is going on out at the entrance of their little town.
Hello, little gnomes.
You hear whispering. And it seems like they all talk with their names as their first person. So they're like, Beamager or Nuzzlepuff. What are some other names that you hear for the gnomes?
Nikki. Peggy.
And Kyle?
Butt Clencher.
Butt Clencher, the gnome.
And the front one up here is Butt Smack.
Oh, so the lead one of the from the villagers?
From the villagers.
The one right behind him is Buttsmack.
Buttsmack, Beamager, Butt Clencher. Who did we also say?
Poofar.
Poofer, I like Poofer.
Lotion.
Lotion and Poofar. They all start talking and they're like, Poofer's confused and Lotion will fight these outsiders. And they just, you hear this chatter from the village.
All of you be quiet. You are noisome and violent little creatures who are sickly. We are looking for a dwarf. Have you seen a dwarf?
And you hear, can everybody on 1, 2, 3 say,
ooh.
And all of the gnomish eyes, it's gathered to be about maybe 40 or 50 gnomish eyes now, sets of eyes look up at you. And as you hear that, ooh.
I puff out my chest and smile.
And you hear,
the dwarf
is very beautiful.
Oh no, the dwarf.
I thought he was sexy.
Be quiet.
Why can't one of the sickly gnomes say, I thought he was sexy?
Because this is for kids.
I thought he was very poofy.
You're the editor. I don't care. Beamer looks up and says,
what do you want with the dwarf?
We need him.
To give him a haircut, of course.
And Beamer runs his hand over his bald head and looks at you suspiciously.
Oh, of course. We will gladly donate to you the hair from the head of this dwarf for you to wear and appreciate as we take him away.
Beamer scrunches up his face like he's thinking.
Can I sweeten the pot at all, Beamer?
You need to do us a turnsabout.
What's a turnsabout?
A turnsabout is that you do us a turn, and then we turns about and do a turn for you.
Well, this sounds like fair play.
Okay.
The turnsabout is that you must kill...
Please give me a monster's name, Will.
Caddycar?
You must kill Caddycar.
Who's Caddycar?
He is a monster who threatens this utopia. Beamer hates him. Beamer does not wish him to live.
Mommy, it's just the cat at the front of the monster thing. It's the front card, and there's a cat in there. It's the monster deck, and there's a cat in there, and it's the cat.
Caddycar is this monster that he's describing, and he threatens the gnomish utopia.
And he's a cat.
No.
Aw.
All Mommy asked for was the name. So if she wanted more of the description, she would have said so. But she probably has an idea of the monster we are fighting.
I do. I just wanted the name.
So why don't we say, so what does this Caddycar look like? It is a two-card Caddycar?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Oh, frick.
He is large.
No!
He... is hairy.
No.
He is ugly.
No.
Wait, but could you just point out something that you think is pretty so I can get a balance for the whole? Because it is a very subjective thing.
He pulls out a ruby from his pocket, yeah, and says,
this is very pretty.
We can agree on that.
He has big teeth, but you also notice that Beamer has big teeth in the front.
Teeth he has remaining.
Yes,
he has a hole in one of his ears.
Does he have a hole in one of his ears?
Like for an earring or a personal affectation?
From a bite. From one of us who is now dead. It was sad.
Can we get the name of the one that died?
What was the gnome that died?
Lavendar.
Beamer loved Lavendar. And then Beamer just starts bawling these thick tears.
Are they viscous tears?
No, they're normal tears. Oh, and actually starts to approach Coasty and Benson, and whoever does not move out of the way first gets a snotty... crying Beamer.
I move out of the way.
Do all of the other gnomes cry too?
You notice a few gnomes cry.
I move out of the way quick. One of the gnomes is like, I'm guessing it's Lavendar's ex.
Oh.
Just grunts and just stomps away.
I move out of the way.
I love that color. Okay, so he grabs Benson's robe.
No, Benson moves out of the way.
Nope. He grabbed two quicks and like uses it
to make a dexterity savings throw.
No. Grabs the robe, just the ends.
Mage hand.
Just the ends of it and gets like a good nose honk into the robe. Like a, can you do a nose honk for me? And it sounded wetter than that. Exactly.
I add some stuff into that.
You also blow your nose on Benson's?
Yes.
Kosti is so affected he starts crying and snotting onto Benson as well. Can you make the sound of Kosti being sad? You're like, I too know what it's like to lose a wife. Because you do. You know what it's like to lose your wife. Can you act that out for me? What is it like to lose your wife, Kosti?
Like 5 billion years ago, I lost my life.
Can you cry for me on the... And you're like, Beamerger, I know what it's like.
Benson gets away from me and I just go on the ground.
Yeah, Thane's just standing there shaking her head.
Flora just walks over to Thane and I'm like, why are they so emotional? Why is Benson crying and snotting in his own clothes?
Is Benson upset about the clothes?
So upset.
That's pretty funny.
If only I knew mending or prestidigitation to help.
With gnome snot. Beamerger comes to his senses and Thane says, good gnome, how may we be of assistance? We must help you, obviously, for such a paragon of your community to have been taken from you. And Beamerger says, down the west corridor lives the monster. Kill the monster, bring back his head, and we will help you find the dwarf.
And there's also one ad of that, and they also said, we will make his head a statue.
And we will make his head a statue as is proper for our enemies.
Rosa, his new wife, just is done.
She like shakes her head and like walks away. Another
and
gnome.
She slaps him and then just walks away.
Beamerger takes it. She's a weirdo. Let's just face that. So they point you down the west tunnel and they say, go kill Kedigar. And then they start singing a little gnomish song. What does their gnomish song sound like?
Go kill Kedigar, go kill
Tamati, Tamako, Tamati, Tamako, Tamati.
Go kill Kedigar,
go kill
Kedigar,
go kill
Kedigar. In the kind of fun fur.
And that one gnome has a lung infection. All right, Daddy, what does the gnome song sound like?
He says, shut up, butt clencher. I get to sing the song. The caverns are alive with the sounds of thrashing. The death knell goes on and on and on and on on.
Adventurers to their doom and kill two monsters. They will never succeed.
The caverns are alive with the sounds of thrashing. And it continues.
And Valeri's like, somebody needs to teach these gnomes how to sing.
Thane.
No, Valeria. But like I'm inserting this into your brain, like, because you're the one with the musical talent. What do you think of this?
Damn, they're off key. And I yell, get some music lessons or shut up.
That was very nice singing. Very nice. Very nice. He pulls some wax out of his ears.
This path actually seems to be pretty well lit, but you do notice that there is weird scratches and scrapings along the bottom of this cave passageway.
Does anyone have any knowledge of natural history and the nature environment?
And you did have to pass a gateway of sorts. It looks like it is like a barricade almost that you had to pass by that had been torn apart several times and repaired.
Okay. We make our way stealthily and sneakily along the corridor. Who's in front?
Me.
Okay. We're the two together. Of you side by side. Benson bringing up the rear with Thayan in the middle. And Benson says, so does no one know anything about these scratches in the walls?
They sound kind of natural. I was just assuming there was like
they do
water
not seem natural. No, it looks like maybe somebody was dragged and tried to use a knife or claws or something to prevent themselves from being dragged down this tunnel.
Okay. Maybe, could it possibly have been a pickaxe?
Yep, could have been a pickaxe. Yep.
Whatever it is, it's been dragging away these sickly gnomes.
So as you travel, there's a few off passages, but they had described that the path was straight, right? So there's a few tunnels that seem to go off to the right and the left as you pass, but they said you just need to go straight. That's where Khadagar lives. And you head down towards the end of this passage, and you actually notice that small strings of webbing seem to be coating the passageway. And it seems to get thicker and thicker and thicker as you go. And you actually notice that there's small little tiny spiders all living in this tunnel. And it doesn't seem to be as smooth as the other tunnels. It seems to be jagged, and there's lots of places for these spiders to live. The ground seems to turn more to soft soil as well.
It seems to me that this Khadagar lives amongst a bunch of spiders. Or is a spider himself?
I think it's a spider. Why would there be so many spiders then? Maybe it's like a mother spider.
Maybe, but let us be stealthy and secretive.
Maybe it's a cat.
This is not secretive nor stealthy, but we should
try. Do you want to roll for stealth?
I do.
Okay. Thayan is not stealthy at all.
24.
I got a 21, babe.
Both Kosti and Benson have a 15.
The cave tunnel, which now has the soft earthen floor and is covered, coated in spiderwebs. And actually, you're starting to have to bat spiderwebs aside because it seems to be, you know, in your face. You know that when you're like walking through the forest and you get a spiderweb in your face, that's like every 2 seconds now.
And we're still working off of my light?
Yeah. It opens up into a large oval egg-shaped room that seems to be coated in spiderwebs. There's no light in this room.
I have given light to Flaria since she's in the lead.
Mm-hmm.
She has the mushroom cap.
You shine almost like a spotlight around the room, and it seems to be this room is just almost like nestled, soft with spiderwebs.
I shine the spotlight onto the spiderwebs and Kosti destroys them.
There's a big clump of spiderwebs right in the middle of the room.
I go there and I
almost
shine
suspended
them.
Suspended from the middle. Like imagine this room looks like almost like an egg and the middle is like a yolk.
So you'd have to work your way out across the webs to get to this middle part? Okay. Is there any movement or anything?
Not that you can tell, other than the smaller spiders that seem to be living around.
I shine the light on clear spiderwebs as Kosti swings his sword and bats them down, and the spiders fall with the
and lots of them are babies hugging
and
mama.
Blood from the spiders oozes everywhere as they fall from where their webs once were.
So with the movement on the tension of these webs, i.e. what you're doing, you actually notice the big web yoke move and shake.
How far away is that big web yoke?
Like 40 feet.
And spider webs are flammable, right?
Mm-hmm.
I will cast Firebolt at the webs. If I can discern that there's no like humanoid or deep gnome wrapped figures that are caught up over there.
It looks like maybe there was like the husks of like smaller chunked things that are gnome shaped from the past.
Good enough to Benson. I will cast Firebolt at the webbing and the webbing yoke. I have a natural 17. So that total comes to 23.
Okay. Okay, roll damage now.
What do you want me to roll for damage? Normally it's a d10.
Roll a d10.
So it's not double damage to spiderwebs? Okay.
I will tell you in a second.
Sure. I have rolled a total of 6.
Okay, so I'm going to run this like as long as the spiderwebs are on fire, they're going to be doing damage to whatever is touching them, basically.
Cool.
You hear a scream from within the little yoke. It sounds guttural. Will, can you give me a guttural scream? Sounds good. Thank you.
Whoa.
Yeah, exactly.
Was that a humanoid sort of scream sound or something different?
Humanoid-esque, yes.
Oh my.
Ow.
Yeah.
What the? I am so sorry.
You see almost materialize outside of the flaming yoke on one of the stronger strands. A spider that you can... It's almost like it's shifted into your reality.
Does it have a hole in its ear?
No.
Well, that is not Khadagar. I don't care.
The fiery yoke seems to lit from where you hit with the...
But it's important. It can make light.
With the magic, and it seems to light the room as it starts to set aflame. The spider seems to turn towards you and shift. And...
Uh-oh.
Shift slightly, and you can no longer see her.
Are we in initiative, or?
Yes.
Should we all roll initiative?
Yes.
Not me.
20.
17.
Plus 3, buddy.
20.
And Benson has a 19. How did Thayan do? What do we do, Flaria? This spider is blinking back and forth.
Kill it!
How?
Fire?
Okay, I will do so, but that is my normal response to things. I mean, of course. Fire, of course. What shall you do?
I'm going to use my katana.
You?
I'm going to use my sword.
We'll have to wait for the spider to get close to us. I do not want to work my way out across the strands to whatever is in the middle.
Okay, yeah, it's Flaria's first.
But the spider is gone.
The spider is gone, yeah.
But me and Robin got a 20.
Yes. Yep, that's okay.
But we need to
There's still a screamy noise from the yoke in the middle.
I swing my katana into the yoke and pull down and then up and then right across.
That's a pretty far jump to get to the yoke. Are you going to run across a strand?
Because it'll be reduced movement if you're trying to run across the strand.
Oh.
You can still try.
Jump. Go jump.
Okay. And please make an athletics check.
That is going to be hard.
Oh!
Order of the D!
22.
So you swing with your katana up into the air and now roll for a strike because she rolled a natural 20 to jump across.
That's pretty cool. She backs up 10 feet, turns, just sprints, and Benson's like, that looks a bit too far as she leaps across.
With her katana in hand. Okay, attack.
Is this a DA?
No, roll your D20. Or yeah, roll damage, sorry, yeah.
7.
Okay.
I'm playing like an actual player.
Good job.
I looked at my sheet.
So the yoke actually splits, this yoke-like webbing seems to split. Flames pulling higher on the outside as you slice down the middle, and out of the bottom plops an ugly, mangled gnoll.
Oh, cool.
And a ripped up ear, but has a bite in it.
Yes, you are correct.
Did this gnoll look like it had been trapped by the spider? Or it was like...
Was it Khadagar?
It's like its hideout, yeah.
Was it?
Oh, cool.
Was it Khadagar?
Yeah.
Khadagar!
We killed him!
So, no, how far is the fall to the bottom of the egg-shaped cave?
It's only about 5 feet until he gets caught up and lands on webbing, so
Where does Flaria land, though?
She's on a string that now has unbuckled from the yoke.
And so she's swinging away? Or?
She can grab something if she wants to hang on to it.
I scream, Khadagar, what have you done? We must destroy you now.
I was very silly. I am very silly. I am very
No, I must destroy you.
Yeah, what are you going to do now?
I will destroy Khadagar.
I cut him 500 times.
So you're going to jump down to him?
Yeah.
Okay, please make an athletics check.
He's really good at those, 22.
Okay, and now make a strike attack against prone.
It was a natural 20.
It wasn't a natural 20 for you. It was a 16.
We got exactly the same.
I know.
Okay, so please make a strike attack.
We keep getting the sack skate.
You get to roll 2d20s because you have advantage because Khadagar is prone and wrapped up in webs.
All right, roll the other one.
Roll the other one now, too.
I already rolled my big one.
Okay, what is it?
So, what's 17 plus 6, Will?
23.
Can you describe how you hit this prone, wrapped up gnoll?
I cut his head, and then I cut his eyes, and then I...
Well, you just hit him once.
Just one hit.
Okay, I cut his neck.
You aim your sword to try to decapitate him. Please do some damage.
Only one.
There you go, roll it up. 15.
You do take a good chunk out of his neck. Long sword aims down and slices him savagely.
Action surge.
Okay, what are you gonna do?
What? So you get to have another action.
I'm gonna do it again.
Okay. Okay, so please roll with advantage again. Okay, and how much damage did you do, bud?
I did the damage.
Yeah, roll the pick up the 2d6s and roll them again.
Okay, so even more damage. What did you get?
I got a 16
damage.
16?
16.
You decapitate a Khadagar and he dies. But because he is stuck in the webbing, the blood flows freely from the neck wound. His head only separates slightly because he's so stuck together.
Do you pull the head free?
Yeah.
Okay. Use your words.
I pulled the head free. And now one of the spiders is eating the head.
Okay.
Benson says, throw the head to me.
And then I pit the head and I throw it to you. No, I keep the head and I run back.
And I will keep my eyes open for the spider that keeps bouncing back and forth.
Okay.
Sounds ready good. To, wherever it may appear in my field of vision, I will strike at it with a firebolt.
Okay.
With my reaction.
Okay. Thane is also going to ready an action of Sacred Flame whenever she sees the spider as well. And it is actually the spider's turn next. The spider appears directly in front of you, Benson.
So the first thing Benson does is go, ah! And then he casts Chromatic Orb at the spider.
And it's fire.
Of course it's fire.
Yeah. Then why were you talking about fire?
He has a 16 to hit.
That is a hit.
Chromatic Orb fire does 3d8 damage. Benson does 13 damage.
Okay. Good stuff. And Thian also aims and fires her Sacred Flame and does 4 damage. The spider is going to bite down on Benson, because Benson's face is right in there.
Please get the snotty part of the rope if you're going to bite me. Blink, spider.
18.
That is a hit.
Okay.
But it's the snotty part, so he eats the snot.
10 damage.
Benson, do you shove the snot in front of him?
Benson cries out in agony. Ah!
Benson, are you okay? I charge to Benson, I think.
You gotta make your way back across the webbing.
Yep.
You do have a speed of what?
40.
So ask the dungeon master how far mm-hmm. you can get.
How far do I get to
You can
Benson?
Only move half speed. So if you're going to climb up these webs towards Benson, you can only get 20 feet. And you're about 30 feet away from Benson.
So a double move would get you back.
I kind of like Tarzan swing across the webs. And it kind of looks like I'm dancing, but like I'm grabbing the vines and then like pulling the vine across and grabbing another vine and pulling it across. So I'm kind of like weaving the vines together.
The spider web strands?
Sorry.
Yeah, that's fine.
The strands together
while As
I'm
you work
moving.
Your way up.
Cool.
You land next to the spider and what do you say?
It's time to die. Stab!
And now it's Kosti's.
I run back and I stab the spider.
You can only get part of the way back because you actually have to climb up as well.
I have Action Surge.
Already used that to kill the gnoll.
No!
So you could do a couple of things. You could loot the body. You could check to see if Khadagar has any valuables on him.
He has some valuables. One is a diamond.
He has a collection of gnomish ears on a string around his neck.
Those gnomes might want their ears back.
I would collect those ears and bring them back to the ear.
He also has a cork collection in his pocket.
Is there a remnants of Lavendar?
Not that you can tell.
What did the gnoll have for a weapon?
He had a spike weapon.
Yeah, it was a spiked club.
I grab that spike club.
I don't think it's worth any money, but you can definitely grab it.
I want to grab it and use it.
Okay.
Well, and you've got his head in your hand and the spike club and the other things.
And then I yell at Benson and I say, Benson, look what I have. I jump up and I show him.
That is a nice stick.
It's not a stick. It's a club.
Benson, it is not your turn.
Oh, okay.
No, it is your turn.
You shocked me and scared me there.
Yeah, it is your turn, sorry, because we shifted order, but you got to go before the spiders.
The spider is still in front of me?
Yeah, behind you, yeah.
Since there's nobody on the other side of the spider,
mm-hmm.
and it's just me, I turn around and cast Burning Hands, and I place my two hands in front of me with the thumb and forefinger touching, pushing them out, and all of the heat from within me cascades forth as I say, Chromatignisio, and cast Burning Hands upon the 15-foot cone in front of me.
Nice. Please do damage.
It must make a DC 14 dexterity saving throw.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. I meant to ask you to make a constitution saving throw before.
Right. I will choose to spend my inspiration to roll 2d20s.
Sure.
I have rolled a 14 and a 15, so the totals on those constitution savings throw is a 20 for me.
You are unaffected at this moment.
I'll roll 3d6. I have done a total of 9 damage.
Okay. And now it's Thane's turn, and she's going to Sacred Flame again.
Sacred.
The spider dodges out of the way and decides to take another bite. Good old Benson. How is a 14?
No, I have a 16 armor class.
Okay, so the spider misses and then starts to fade away.
And he dies.
No. Nope.
Oh, wait, does it? It fades away?
Yeah, the spider does not seem to be visible. Okay, so basically nothing happens until the spider reappears.
I ready.
So you're going to make your way. You made your way all the way up to the hallway. Yeah. So when the spider reappears, you're readying an action?
Yeah.
What are you going to ready?
My katana.
If the spider appears within striking distance, you're going to strike the spider. That's what you're saying?
Yep.
Okay. And Will, what is Coastie going to do?
He's gonna long jump over to Benson.
Okay. And then is he gonna ready an action?
Yeah, and then the spider comes out. He still has fire on him. And he's screaming like, I am on fire. I'm dying. I'm dying. Mommy, I'm dying.
Benson, what would you like to do?
Oh, I will also ready an action in case the spider reappears.
What action would you like to ready?
I will ready a firebolt.
Okay. And Than is actually going to ready her mace this time. And the spider appears in front of Than, right by Coastie and Flaria. Flaria, you get to go first. What would you like to do?
Than, look!
And roll your attack.
15.
That's a hit.
7 damage.
Okay. You kill the spider brutally into the guts.
I take it. No, can I describe how I kill it?
Sure.
So I ready my katana, and in protection of Thayin, I kind of kick it up and then stab it down and stab it on both sides, and finishing it, I swing it on the... I kick it up. And then I finishingly stab it up again, but it's like guts, and I reach to its heart and I spin on its heart. I pull out from its body its heart and I spin the heart on my katana.
You've skewered the heart?
Yep.
All right.
No, no, no. Let's be fair. That was incredible.
Yeah, it was really good. And as the corpse of the spider falls to the ground with the last gasp of air leaving its lungs, Kosti holds aloft Khadagar's head and says,
I have Khadagar's head.
Excellent. Let us return then.
Awesome.
We travel back on a happy day.
But I first turn it into stone.
Can I say that we get back?
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to end the game with me performing to the gnomes.
Actually, yes.
Me and me.
There's a celebration of the heroics in the village that night. They feed you food. It's a whole feast. And something magical appears in front of Bestson midway through the feast. A scroll pops out of nowhere in front of his face.
But to find out what it is, you'll have to wait till next game.
What is it? What is it? What is it? What is it?
It actually says, as he looks into it, Bensan, you're being sued for paternity support.
What?
Bensan is a dad.
Oh. That was our gift.
I do not know what to say to this. I quickly fold it up and tuck it away and say,
"Well." And during this, and while that's happening, I'm performing "Still Love, Still Love,"
and I'm performing with
Didn't
Robin.
Didn't know it was happening. Did he know? Did he know? But it's still love, still love.
Fearless we soar, speeding arrows ricochet. Break free our hearts, burn brighter than yesterday. And through the battles we wage, when our shields fall away, the armor cracks and breaks. If ever our torch fade, we'll see the sun come up again. We will climb higher than we've been. We got a fire that burns within. We are the dragon hearted. We are the dragon hearted. Courage to stop again and fall. Together we stand 30 feet tall. We got a fire that burns within. We are the dragon hearted. We are.
Thanks for listening to Tavern Tales Family, The Order of the D, Episode 5. If you enjoyed the episode, please feel free to give us a rating on iTunes and check us out at www.taverntales.ca or on Twitter at tavern_tales. Our intro and outro music is the song Dragonhearted, a single by Tryhard Ninja. Find out more about Tryhard Ninja on Twitter at Tryhard Ninja or on iTunes at Tryhard Ninja or check out their channel on YouTube, Tryhard Ninja. Thanks again, and see you next week for another adventure.